Please take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 21. Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 1, and out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts 24, beginning in verse 1. 5 days later, Ananias, the high priest, came down with some elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. These men presented their case against Paul to the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus began to accuse him and said, "We enjoy great peace because of you, and reforms are taking place for the benefit of this nation because of your foresight. We acknowledge this in every way and everywhere, most excellent Felix, with utmost gratitude. But so that I will not burden you any further, I request that you would be kind enough to give us a brief hearing. For we have found this man to be a plague, an agitator among all the Jews throughout the Roman world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to desecrate the temple, and so we apprehended him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to discern the truth about these charges we are bringing against him. The Jews also joined in the attack, alleging that these things were true." When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "Because I know you have been a judge of this nation for many years, I am glad to offer my defense in what concerns me. You can verify yourself that it was no more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. They didn't find me arguing with anyone or causing a disturbance among the crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or anywhere in the city. Neither can they prove the charges they are now making against me. But I admit this to you. I worship the God of my ancestors according to the way, which they call a sect, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, which these men themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection both of the righteous and the unrighteous. I always strive to have a clear conscience toward God and men. After many years, I came to bring charitable gifts and offerings to my people. While I was doing this, some Jews from Asia found me ritually purified in the temple, without a crowd and without any uproar. It is they who ought to be here before you to bring charges, if they have anything against me. Or let these men here state what wrongdoing they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, other than this one statement I shouted while standing among them. Today I am on trial before you concerning the resurrection of the dead." You may be seated. In our passage today, it starts out 5 days later. So we sort of need to know 5 days after what? Well, Paul had been taken into protective custody, if you will, by the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem when there was a mob trying to kill him. And many in the mob didn't know why they were there. There was just a riot going on, and they were trying to beat Paul because people had accused him of desecrating the temple and one thing or another. And the commander was trying to figure out what was going on with the situation. And he brought Paul before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, Jewish ruling council. And they presented their evidence, and Paul saw that they were half made up of Pharisees and half of Sadducees, so sort of like our Congress. We've got half Democrats, half Republicans. That's the same type of animosity that they had in the Sanhedrin. And he said, "I am on trial for the hope and the resurrection of the dead. And then the Pharisees said, we don't see anything wrong with him. Let him go. And there was an argument that broke out in the Sanhedrin between the Pharisees who believe in a resurrection and the Sadducees who don't. And the commander went down and had to take Paul back into custody. And that night, God says to Paul, just like you testified about me in Jerusalem, so you'll testify about me in Rome. The next morning, some people that didn't like what Paul was saying decided that they're going to kill him. They're going to assassinate him. 40 of them, at least, made a plot that they're going to assassinate Paul. They said, here's how we'll do it. We'll have the Sanhedrin ask for him to be brought back to examine him, and we'll ambush him on the way. They went to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders, and they agreed to this lie. And so they sent a message to the commander to have him brought. But God had someone that heard about the plot, Paul's nephew. He told the commander of the Roman forces, and the commander of the Roman forces in Jerusalem had Paul removed in the middle of the night down to Caesarea, where the Roman governor was. God has a way of thwarting the plans of men that try to prevent his message from getting out. Now, that doesn't mean that all the evil plans of people get thwarted. But God has a way for his message to get out. Just like we saw in our video today. God used COVID-19 to spread the gospel because, as a missionary was saying, people had trouble believing in a God they couldn't see. But then when they started wearing their mask and everybody, well, you believe in a virus you can't see. Let me tell you about a God that brings hope and peace. God can use all kinds of things to get his message across. Well, Paul is down in Caesarea, down on the coastline. You know, if that was Lana, she would have preferred to be down there instead of up in the high in the mountains where it's snowing, down on the beach. I think not just Lana, I think most of us would like to be down on the beach instead of up in the mountains where it's snowing. You can only snow ski for so long, and then it gets a little old. But Paul is down in Caesarea, and the religious leaders come down to Caesarea to accuse Paul. Now, they hire a lawyer, and the term in Greek for lawyer is orator. That's where we get our word, someone who's orator or does an oration. And he starts out by flattering Felix. Nobody believes what he's saying. Felix doesn't believe what he's saying. The lawyer doesn't believe what he's saying. The Jewish leaders don't believe what he's saying. But he's saying all kind of flattery. He starts off with saying, we enjoy great peace because of you. The Roman historians of the day, especially Josephus, a Jewish general who was captured by the Romans and became a historian of all the Jewish events. He wrote a 5-volume series. The one I got on my bookshelf was 5 volumes. It takes about that much shelf space. He talks about the history of the Jews. The Roman suppression of the rebellion of the Jews that destroyed the temple in 70 AD, he traces back to Felix. Felix was a very violent man who If you slip money his way, you could get your way. But his brother was someone that had the confidence of the emperor. And so his brother Paulus was very influential, very well respected in Rome. And he was the one that got Felix this position. Now, Felix had been a slave who had bought his freedom, and now, through the influence of his brother, has become the governor. But he was very brutal. There's not peace. He's bringing all kind of discord. And all the governors that followed him leading up to the Roman or the Jewish revolt of the Romans in the 60s, 66 to 70 AD, is traced back to Felix and the things that he caused, and where the Tertullus is saying, everywhere, everyone is talking all good about you. No, everywhere, everyone is talking about how bad a person you are. But Tertullus is flattering Felix, telling him what he wants to hear, and the Jewish, yeah, that's right, even though they're maybe, you know, I got my fingers crossed behind my back. I can tell a lie. Well, that type of thing. Tertullus is telling all kinds of lies. He says, you have made all kinds of reforms that are beneficial. No. And we are grateful. No. They want a revolution to get rid of Felix and any Roman influence. After this false flattery, Tertullus brings the accusation against Paul. He's a pest. That's what basically the Greek word for many of your Bibles translate, a plague. He's just a problem. He's just an insect that's causing trouble that we want to get rid of. Now, he's what you would call the exterminator for. And Felix, we want you to be the exterminator. And he has caused trouble all over the Roman world, stirring up the Jews against Rome. Now, Tertullus never mentions a specific place, because Felix could go, oh, that was in Ephesus? Let's send him to the governor over Ephesus. No, Tertullus wanted the court that Felix was on to have jurisdiction. Just like in a trial today, some people will select their judge that will be beneficial, or they think will be beneficial to their case. So Tertullus and the Jewish leaders want Felix to answer the case because they know Felix is corrupt, and he will do things to please the Jewish people to avoid a bad report going back to Rome. Paul is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect. Now, by saying this, you have to understand a little bit about Jewish law, or Roman law, rather. Roman law said you can have a religion in your country, but you, it is existing, but you can't introduce a new one. It's called religio licta. There's your Latin lesson for today. Basically means a legal religion. In Israel, you could worship God as a Jew, but you couldn't have any new religion in Israel. So Tertullus is saying, Paul's a ringleader of a new religion, which would be illegal under Roman law. Now, Paul is going to say, I'm not starting a new law, or a new religion. I'm holding to the true religion here. It's these people that aren't. But that's one of the accusations. And Paul desecrated the temple, and we had everything under control. Now, if you look in your Bibles at verse, let's see, 6, there's part of the verse 7 is not in all the best manuscripts. So let me read it with verse 7, starting at verse 6. He even tried to desecrate the temple, so we apprehended him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But Lysias, the commander, came and took him from our hands with great force, commanding his accusers to come to you. So, it is your fault, Roman government, that this problem is right before you. We had it under control, but your soldier interfered. Well, all these accusations are false or as slanted. It talks a little bit about like how our country is today. I was reading the news about one of our government officials who has a bald head, a mustache, and is wearing a dress, talking about how we need to be doing certain things to protect our nuclear industry. At the same time, Kirk Cameron has a new book for children about how to make godly choices. He is prohibited from all the libraries that he's contacted from reading the book in the library. But Drag Queen Story Hour is okay. Our country is standing on its head because people are not concerned with what the truth is. They have an agenda. And that agenda is, we want our way, we don't want God's way. Same thing is going here. Tertullus is presenting the case, and the Jewish leaders are going to agree with him about all these false accusations because they want things their way. They'll tell lies. They'll make up stories. They'll omit the truth, all because they want their way. Now, Paul, he starts his defense. Now, he doesn't flatter Felix. He says, Felix, I'm glad you're hearing the case because you're not new to the situation. Felix, you know what's going on here. He didn't call Felix a great leader. He just said, you're aware of the situation. You know when people are pulling your leg, and you know when people are telling a lie, and you know what Tertullus just said is not the truth. But I'm glad because you're aware of the situation. You're not coming into a new situation just wondering what is going on. So let me tell you, I went up to worship God 12 days ago. You can check it out. The evidence is there. Paul had given notice about his purification and when it was going to be over, so it's all in the Jewish records. Felix could have found out. I wasn't arguing with anybody. I wasn't causing a disturbance. I wasn't causing a disturbance in the temple, any synagogue, or anywhere at all in Jerusalem. Basically, I was minding my own business. I was there, and then some people from Asia, that'd be like people from Georgia came down to Texas to make accusations, but they didn't show up in court. He said, where are the people from Georgia? He said, the people from Asia came and make accusations, and they stirred up the crowd. By law, the people that made the accusations are supposed to present the testimony. Where are they? They're not here. Where are the people that have really accused me? I didn't make an uproar, but I am here because I worship God, the ancestral God of my forefathers. Now, that term in Greek would have been familiar to anyone in the Roman Empire. For in classical Greek literature, it's used, do you worship the ancestral Zeus? Do you worship the god of your fathers? It's used about Are you worshiping the same God your fathers and their fathers worshiped? Paul is saying, I am worshiping the same God my father and his father worshiped, and these people here. I'm not starting a new religion. So that addressed the argument. Are you starting a new religion? Now, Paul says, I believe everything that was written in the scripture. Now, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he was walking along the road with two disciples. They didn't recognize him. They were walking to this town of Emmaus. Jesus prevented himself from being recognized. He said, why are you guys so sad? Are you the only one that doesn't know about these things that happened? We were following Jesus, and now he's been crucified. And then in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus opened the scripture and from the law and the prophets explained everything that had to happen about himself. In John, John frequently refers to when Jesus is talking to those who oppose him and said, if you would just look in the Bible, if you look in the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, you see, it tells you everything I'm doing. So Paul is using the same explanation that Jesus did. I'm not starting something new. We right here are not worshiping a different God than Abraham worshiped. We are not worshiping a different God than Adam worshiped. We're not worshiping a different God than King David worshiped. We're not worshiping a different God than Solomon worshiped. We're not worshiping a different God. We are worshiping the same God. This is not a new religion. It is a completion, a further understanding, a more complete understanding. And Paul says, I'm worshiping the God of our Father. I haven't done anything wrong, except maybe I shouted in the Sanhedrin, I'm on trial because of my hope in the resurrection. Now, why did Paul say that? Because part of his accusers that had come down to Caesarea were those that were defending him when he said that back in Jerusalem. So you changed your mind, you were defending me in Jerusalem. But when I said I'm on trial for the hope of the resurrection, you defended me there, but now you back down. You changed your mind about what the truth is. Paul was trying to explain the truth. There's a lot of lies that go on in our trial here and in our world today. But we need to stick to the truth as Paul did. Did Paul get out of prison? No. Are we going to avoid discomfort if we speak the truth? No. Is Kirk Cameron going to get to read his godly book to children? No. There are still going to be evil people. Now, Kirk Cameron has a good book about values and children. There are people that are speaking the truth, but there's people that are speaking lies. We need to be speaking the truth, not just pretending that it goes away. What happens in our society when we don't speak the truth? Sin gets blasted in our faces, and we're told we have to not only accept it, but endorse it. There was a TV show called MASH, and a corporal named Klinger who wore dresses to try to get out of the military because he thought he could get a Section 8 discharge. You're crazy. Now, we're told we're crazy if we believe that people can't say that I am one of 270 different genders. We're crazy if we say there's one man and one woman. Those are the only two sexes God created. We're wrong if we say there's a judgment day. We're wrong if we say Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Not that he was born on December 25th, no. It doesn't matter what day he was born on. Jesus has always been. He came to earth one day in a stable in Bethlehem, and he was laid in the manger. We should be celebrating Christmas every day of the year, not just December 25th. We need to be speaking the truth because there is a judgment day coming. There is a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. That means the people that did good and the people that did bad, the people that believe in Jesus and the people that don't. And they're all going to be judged. The people that don't believe in Jesus don't just go away and there's nothing else. Your lack of belief does not mean God does not exist. He exists. And people are going to face a holy God. We need to tell them. Because there is only one hope. One hope. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Of ever avoiding the penalty that our sin deserves. Let's give that gift to others this year. Tell them the truth. Because you know what happens? When your sins have been washed away, there's nothing that can ever last that's bad. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. But the bad side is, when people have been in hell 10,000 years, it's only just begun. Let's keep people out of hell by telling them the truth. You can't make people go to heaven, but you can tell them that there's a judgment day coming. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you that you love us so much that you came and died on our behalf. And you rose again to prove you have power over death. And you are coming again to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. Let us be ready for that day and let us share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.